As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now, Kathy Bates, that's bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yet he is, and every day Dirty's Daily is powered by Mocarum Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281. Come on, that's who it is. 281-222-2222. Hey, y'all, download that Odyssey app now. Download that Odyssey app. Take us with you everywhere you go. It is the Texans. They started talking again now. We've had C.J. Stroud. We've had Will Anderson. We've had D'Amico Ryans. We get Nick Caserio all the damn time. Hey, take that Odyssey app with you. You know, there's podcast page on there. Every segment, every segment is podcasted that we have, including every interview with those players, every discussion that we have about what they say, man. It's that time of year, y'all. It's picking up. AUDACY, the Odyssey app. Download it. Even if you listen to us on the AM/FM dial or you watch us on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate everybody. But when it's all said and done, download that Odyssey app. It's big time, man. It keeps you locked in. And hell, we gave away $20,000 in 4 all expense paid trips to Vegas not too damn long ago. So it's not a bad app to keep in on the old iPhone. Big week. NFL draft starts tomorrow. We will be live from the Texans draft party down at Avenida Plaza, which is right there in front of George R. Brown Convention Center, right there in the city, right there in the mix now. It's going to be a good time. Y'all come on through when you see us. They set up all kind of good time down there. We were down there a couple years ago, maybe last year. They set up all kind of stuff down there. We watch them start setting up. By the end of our show, they're locked and loaded. Texans All Access, that whole crew, they will join us. Or they will take our spot at 6 o'clock when we get done. So everybody will be down there, and the draft party will get kicked off. That's the Texans draft party, Avenida Plaza downtown, right there, literally opposite side of the George R. Brown Convention Center from the highway. Easy to find. You can enjoy all of Tyler's stomping grounds. One of Tyler's stomping grounds in Houston over there in Edo. They got plenty of places to grab a bite to eat, grab a little drink. And then ease on over there and holler at us, man. Again, Avenida Plaza, Texans draft party tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m. We will be live, and Texans All Access will take over after us. We got a Rockets game tonight, game 2 versus Golden State Warriors tonight at 8:30, boys. Another late night. The Rockets playoff game, I can keep my head up on that one, Ron. I nod off on them Strohs now. I ain't going to lie to you. Last night in that seventh inning, your boy's chin started hitting his chest real quick. Well,
especially when they had a good control of it.
Come on, man. I mean, the more they stretch that thing out. I missed Esox's bomb. I didn't even see it, man. I dozed off before
He's staying in Crawford, Buck.
Come on, man. Come
All
on
four.
Now. The Astros, who we're just talking about, they took game two of that Blue Jays series last night. Blanco O'Neill, he was nails, and Walker got three hits. We'll be chopping that up the rest of the way. 2 more hours with you, Houston. Hang in there with us. We greatly appreciate it. If you love listening to the show, hey, tell your friends about it. Tell your mom and them about it. And let's get this, let's blow this thing up even more than it already is. By the way, on that Odyssey app, there is, there are also all of the podcasts that originate here in the building with the, with really all the Odyssey stations, but definitely the sports that, that originate here in the building, those podcasts, they're all there to be had. And the one that we love to make sure you know about on this show here is that Big Orange Wagon. Big Orange Wagon with Tyler Milner and Patrick Creighton. Make sure you plug into that right there. Those all things Astros, those guys are dialed in, locked and loaded. And do a good job there. So
sub team money.
Yeah, Tyler, when's the next epi coming out, baby?
Actually, I was going to mention tonight, PC and I are going to record a brand new episode of the Big Orange Wagon, available wherever you get your podcasts. Look for it to get posted, I'd say around 9 o'clock or so.
There you have it. That's easy. That's easy, right?
Set that alarm.
Yes, sir.
And go ahead and like and subscribe and download and all that.
Yeah, do that too. If, I mean, if you're a podcaster, hell, you know the drill, man. Get out there and do it. All right, there's a lot of folks. The closer we get to this draft tomorrow, y'all, there's a lot of folks out there that think there'll be a ton of movement, ton of trades on draft night. It's interesting because, Ron, when you've got like a, this draft is not quarterback heavy. Right, it seems, you know, that a lot of times when you see these a lot of movement, particularly on a Thursday in that first round, is because teams are wanting to jump up there and they're trading,
especially up.
They're trading everything and everything but the kitchen sink to go get a quarterback. That's not the case this year. I think what the thought is that you just see some teams that are quarterback needy. Maybe they don't like the quarterbacks that are going to be available. So maybe they move. The Tennessee Titans, although they said they're going Cam Ward and everybody else can kick rocks, you never know what happens last minute. The Giants, you know, they've been linked to several different quarterbacks, and the word on the street is right now that they're probably not going to take one. They're going to move a different direction. So anyway, a lot of movement. And here in Houston, you know, there's plenty of reason to believe, as I outlined a little earlier, I think this roster is built in a way where you get a couple of plug-and-play starters on the offensive side of the football. I think it's really going to move the needle to complete this team that I think is ultimately going to be expected, at least, to be a Super Bowl-caliber team. And I think they're a couple of plug-and-play starters away. Whether that's free agency or it's a draft, we'll find out. But there's a need there. The Texans have the draft capital with an extra 3 this year and an extra 2 next year. They have the draft capital, and general manager Nick Caserio, since 2021, has traded up 13 times in the draft, which is first among GMs. He's traded down 5 times, which is 12th among GMs. So we've got a GM that's getting a lot of run right now about how active he's been in drafts, and folks think that there's going to be a lot of movement in this year's draft. Now, Ron, with that said, I think all of that is probably likely. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but Nick making the call. There's a lot of reports out there. I heard Sean and Seth this morning talk about Jeremy Fowler and Albert Breer and all these guys talking about the Texans making phone calls and Diana trying to move Rossini up in the draft. Yeah, they're all there's too much smoke not to be fired somewhere to some degree. And so you got to think that Nick is at least flirting with it. And here's the other part, Ron. You said this earlier, and I agree with you. There's not the typical draft where quarterback heavy, or there's not even these you know, quarterbacks at the top, or there's not the wide receivers like, well, who were we talking about earlier? Marvin Harrison Jr. was there. And,
yep, Brian, you know, Thomas was the 23rd pick in the draft. Yeah,
which means the first 2 or 3 receivers, Malik Nabers was there, like these just surefire game-changing wide receivers. You really don't have that, or at least you don't – draft gurus don't believe that you have that in this draft. So you don't have a ton of, hey, I got to trade up and go get this player to change my franchise. But you do, Ron, you do. The Texans have been linked to, and this is your favorite word, Tyler, you'll love this. You'll love this. The Texans have been linked to several players that everybody's referring to being very, very swarmy guys. Tyler. Very, very swarmy guys.
Such a stupid-ass word.
Hey, man, you can't say that, man. That came up.
He ain't wrong. I said yesterday,
swarm's fine. Just stick with that. Swarmy's dumb as hell.
Nah, these are swarmy guys at
the
top. You got
to build off of it.
And the wildest thing here, guys.
A swarminator.
The national guys aren't using the swarmy, Tyler. They're not quite going swarmy.
Good. They're using regular words.
But they're damn sure using regular words that in that building over there are used to define swarmy.
Kevin Harlan would never.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. They're using them.
Oh, yes, he would.
Ryan,
what? He's got the swarm.
Ryan, you talk about not having a whole hell of a lot of guys worthy of moving up for in this draft. I think if you're the Texans sitting at 25, I think there's several guys. At least if what they're saying about these guys is true. Starts with Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle out of Texas, right? A lot of people don't believe he's going to fall far enough for the Texans to even have a shot at him, but he's swarming, right?
He's got that swarm.
Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver at Ohio State, he may be the swarmiest of all. He's getting Will Anderson.
Will Anderson.
He's getting Will Anderson comparisons.
Somebody stop that man.
How about the big guard out of Alabama, Tyler Booker? I don't know if he's as good as Nick and them think he is. They may have to move a couple spots to get him. He's another one of them swarmy Bama guys. Kenneth Grant, D-tackle out of Michigan, I believe. Another one of those guys, man. Boy, you hear Seth talk about him. Seth really loves him. I mean, they love him, right? How about Gray Zabel? Was it North Dakota State or South Dakota State? Which one? North Dakota State?
The good one.
Boy, he's got. I mean, he may be the swarmiest of all boys. Like, just literally, he may be small school guy, worked his way up.
I don't know if anybody beats Mecca.
Work. Yeah, that's a good point. He's really getting pushed. Josh Simmons, a big offensive tackle, I believe, out of Ohio State.
Now, he's not swarmy.
Is he not swarming?
He's not. He's not. He doesn't have the swarminess.
I thought I saw the tie.
I'm just saying he doesn't have the swarmy.
Oh, he's not quite there yet.
What about tendencies?
He's got tendencies.
No, there's a question if he quits, if he plays hard all the time.
All joking aside. We've got there are several guys that while the Texans may not move up to 2 and 3 to get C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, there's several guys that I could see them that they've been linked to. And we all know, all joking aside, we all know that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are definitely hunting a certain type of player. And there are several players at positions of need for the Houston Texans. And these are all guys, by the way, that I think are I'm talking first rounders. I'm talking maybe they sit at 25 and get one, but we're talking plug and play starters here. So we are talking about guys that are impact players. Again, all joking aside, this excites the hell out of me. Tomorrow's going to be fun, y'all. Tomorrow's going to be a fun show. Tomorrow's going to be a fun follow with the Texans All Access guys with that first round. It's going to be fun. We're going to be down at Avenida Square once again, Texans draft party. Come check us out. I fully expect the Texans move. Real quick, Ron, do the Texans move? Do they move up? Forget moving. Do they move up from 25 in tomorrow's draft?
Yeah, I think they do. I think there's too much smoke.
Tyler?
The arrow's pointed up.
Yes, me and Cal believe yes.
You and Cal both believe yes?
Yeah, Caserio lets him hang way too damn much in recent years. He's going to move up.
I agree. I think I've talked myself into it, and now all of a sudden here we are on draft, 2025 draft, NFL draft eve, and every reporter out there, every newsbreaker out there is to some degree is talking about the Texans moving up.
That big Nick energy.
Gosh, that's one of the best drops ever right there.
I concur.
Thank you for that, Hannah. I greatly appreciate it.
You can come on the show and say it again, Hannah.
Yeah.
Does this count as us being on your show?
No.
Anytime. That is Hannah McNair, and Cal McNair was there that day. That's Tyler Milner behind the glass. I'm alongside Ron, the show Hughley. You listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Real quick, guys, I got to circle back to a conversation we had earlier. And I'm going to disagree with Tyler, I think. Can we circle back to this Rockets uniform convo y'all kind of briefly had earlier?
I would love to.
I'm not as up as you are on, like, what era of basketball certain uniforms are. That's why I didn't engage in y'all's conversation, so I had to go back and look. You like that rocket ship uniform that Olajuwon wore?
So I actually was going to clarify. I do like it. I love those uniforms, but I'd say they're probably my least favorite of all the generations. There's no Rockets uniform, generation of uniform for the Rockets that I don't like.
I don't like those.
These, yeah.
Y'all aren't alone. I don't like those. I got friends that didn't like the rocket ship with the face on it.
It felt like they were just trying to do too much. Completely changed.
Looked like they had made.
I remember at the time, I'm thinking they've made like some futurists try to make some futuristic jerseys.
I'm gonna tell you the Hakeem's Houston across the chest, red with the white and white and yellow, white and gold piping.
Ketchup and mustard.
I wish they
included the gold, yellow, whatever that is. I wish they would include that back into their
into the new one this year,
their uniform.
Mustard and ketchup's pretty fire.
Yeah, that is my favorite. And I'll tell you, the current Rockets with just Rockets written across the chest, mm-hmm. that's clean.
It's clean, simple, clean.
And when it comes to the logos, I like the R and I like the current logo. In fact,
no, I do. I like it. I just wish the Rockets and the numbers was gold.
I got it tattooed on my skin.
I think that's fair. I like that Rockets logo. I just had to circle back to that. I'm thinking, wait a minute, boys. I don't know. I don't know if I heard that right. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, Tyler's showing you his tattoo. I think he's got the space guy on there too.
I do.
That's not the Rockets logo though. That was an actual rocket on that uniform.
Yeah, my Rockets piece is a space shuttle, a NASA space shuttle.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. When I see this is awful, but I'm being honest. When I see Hakeem Olajuwon in that uniform, I think less.
Oof. Oh, and the Rocket one?
When I see him in that one that says Houston across the chest, it just immediately screams, badass, greatest ever, hell yeah. When I see that cartoon-looking thing, I'm like...
When they had him and Barkley and like what Pippen was in that too?
Yes.
The cartoon Rocket we're talking about, it makes me think of Steve Francis first and then Coutinho Mobley.
Yeah, Stevie.
Hakeem, I definitely associate with like the red and yellow, the mustard ketchup look.
That was nasty. All right, well, we just had to clear that up. Well done, T. Well done, T.
You look out now. You might get called a hater. But I got called when I said I wasn't a fan of those earlier.
I like the H-Town unis, too, now.
Those are nice.
I mean, they're simple. I'm simple.
And Jersey, I think, like, clean, sleek. I think when you overdo it, I'm not a fan of it. Like, I like Oregon's jerseys until they... They start trying to get too creative.
And they get a little wild.
Like,
well, the thing with like Oregon,
they'll get too creative. They'll put like, hold on, that helmet didn't have to go.
Right.
Like, why you got so many? It's so busy, man.
Well, they've created a stick to where it's almost like how many badass unis can they create? And they miss. Yeah, combinations. And they miss. When they miss, few and far between, though, when they miss, it's like, ooh, I don't know about that. Like,
I'm going to go gold helmet.
Right.
I'm going to go blue jersey.
Green
jersey. I'm going to go black pants. And I'm going to go... yellow socks. I mean, just like, come on.
I know we're up against it. Maybe think about it in the break, but I want to know your all time favorite throwback NBA jersey. Doesn't got to be Rockets. Your favorite throwback NBA jersey ever. Well done.
Yeah, that's good. The Knicks one is pretty strong for me. Just normal. The Knicks one is pretty strong. They've just kind of updated it a little bit. That's a cold blooded one. All right, coming up. The starting lineup is out for the Astros. We'll let you know who that is. DeZinzo, is he back in it? Spoiler, yes. So we'll give you the rest of that lineup coming up next.
Thumbs five.
Taking a tease from you, damn it. Yes. You don't know what position he's playing, though. Right field. All right, we will let you know that coming up next. And this draft is coming up, and something has just – and maybe I need to be calmed down. Maybe I need to be kind, but something has really pissed me smooth off. We'll discuss that next.
Ron Hewley.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hewley.
Astros lineup is out as they look to sweep the Blue Jays. Altuve leading off. Alvarez is the DH tonight, and he is batting second. Paredes, who's coming off of another Crawford box homer, he is behind him. Third, Pena, after his three hits yesterday, stays in the cleanup spot. Walker, after his three hits yesterday, stays there in the five spot. How about that? Cleanup and four and five spot. Got six hits between them yesterday.
Yeah, man.
Scored multiple runs, drove in runs. Diaz stays in as the catcher. DeZinzo is back from that jammed thumb or jammed finger that he had that set him out yesterday. So he is back there in right field. Dubon is in at second base. And Chaz McCormick.
Center field action?
He's in center field.
Oh, look at you.
Come on, Chaz.
I mean, he is due a big day, isn't he? I just want to see the kid smile. Forget getting his name back. I mean, he is due a big day, right?
We'll get out of this little funk.
A big day, man. He's due. Like, what's a big day?
I mean, DeZenzo. Like, DeZenzo had a couple
two
days hit, ago.
Two doubles,
some RBIs, a shining light in this lineup for a change. I mean, he's due. I just want to see the kid smile.
Cheryl, Tyler, if you could find this at some point, because I do want to include you, and maybe Cheryl will have to do it. When's the last time he's hit a home run?
Mm.
What, like, honest to God, the date, the last time Chaz hit a home run.
When's the last time he got some banana pudding?
That's true.
Dusty quit bringing that pudding, didn't he? Yeah, Dusty. He strikes me. You know your buddy that you think's got a pretty good life, but every time you see him, he's just stressed to the gills. You can see it in his eyes. You can see, like, he's just tired all
like
the time.
Like he's holding on.
Something just ain't right. Something, yeah, man, I'm on the verge, man. I'm on the verge of just going off the deep end. Chaz is that guy.
I'm afraid of hearing that. I feel like it may be June or May of last year.
What, last home run?
Yes. No, he had touched one up this year.
It wasn't this year, so it's definitely going to be. Yeah. It's going to be in 2024.
I wonder when it was. All right, some people have texted in to Tyler's jersey, throwback jersey. I said the Knicks. Someone texted in the Charlotte Hornets throwbacks. Yes, the ones with the pinstripes. Larry Johnson's, Alonzo Mourning, Muggsy Bogues. Those are clean. The Black Bulls jerseys. I don't know how hard throwback that is, but I guess to maybe some people when they first did those throwbacks. I mean, I like the old Sean Kemp, Gary Payton Sonics jerseys.
That's my number one.
That's where I was going to go, but I'm thinking that may be for me just because it's no longer around.
Yeah.
That
one was unique and not too crazy. Not too busy. I like that one.
It's a good one. The throwback Nuggets is a popular one.
Yeah,
that's the one I remember. Larry Allen walking across that damn field in the Alamo Dome after Parcells told him he was going to have 10 straight two-a-days in his ass.
He
was in that rainbow that damn
God,
whose Nugget
jersey was it?
I don't know who. I don't remember who.
Like
it
Alex
was.
English probably.
But he's walking. No, it was before that. Hell, it was 2000.
Oh, Alex Inglis is before that.
Oh, Alex said Ingles.
English. Yeah, he's one of the.
Hey, he's not. I don't know. But anyway, he's walking across in that jersey, and I thought, okay, I guess LA was serious. He ain't practicing today. But anyway, go ahead.
The first, the initial Miami Heat jerseys, those the way they had Heat spelled with the bats, those were nice.
Apologize if y'all mentioned it. I was looking up that Chaz McCormick stat. By the way, August 28th of 2024, last white boy Chaz homer against the Phillies.
He did still have his nickname at that time.
No, apologies if y'all mentioned this one, but close second to me to the throwback Sonics is the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Ooh, the Grizzlies, they've been wearing them now.
Yeah, those things are clean.
Yeah, they got their ass beat in them, I think, not too long ago. But yeah, they... Yeah, those were cool.
Yeah,
I didn't like them at the time. Someone texted in the Raptors first. Yeah, the Raptors first ones, the ones that Vince wore. Those were nice.
When the Raptor Chris Bosh was playing for the Raptors.
Yep, him and Peyton Manning when he played for the Broncos.
Yes.
The guys who look closest like their mascot. Of the team that they play for, Peyton, the Bronco, and when Chris had his dreads pulled back just the right way.
That's good.
Man, if he didn't look like the Toronto Raptor, if he didn't look like
that is good.
That damn thing.
Oh,
like, hey,
good.
Chris, do this.
Sometimes I think I just tune into Jurassic Park on accident.
Right, I've never heard that. The player that looked most like his
Peyton
logo.
Manning when he's at the Denver Bronco.
That's really good.
And Chris takes the cake. Yeah, Chris is the best. And, he cut his hair off. It pissed me smooth off. That is a raptor in that thing. Real quick, this annoyed me as we go into the draft, Clint, and maybe I'm overdoing this. And the reason why I say maybe I'm overdoing this is because in my mind, I think you're taking serious, you're getting serious potential hurt to this player's future and how people view him. With Shedeur Sanders, and it has been, I think I would say for him, more negative. To be what I think most people believe the second best quarterback in the class, And at one point, it was closer between him and Cam Ward.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like we hear everything positive about Jalen Milroe. It seems the opposite with Shedeur Sanders. This one is the cake taker to me. This is, of course, he was too much of a bitch to put his name out there. An NFL assistant coach. Sorry, kids. An NFL assistant coach on Shedeur Sanders. The worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames his teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good. And I got no problem with you. You put your name on it. Say what if you're gonna go out and go this hard on somebody, this ain't man, I just don't like the way he climbs in the pocket or I think he takes sacks. Those are my issues. No. The worst interview you've ever seen in your life, he's entitled, which is an opinion, and he blames his teammates. Where are you getting that from? All of this stuff. He's not that. Put your damn name on it. Like you're gonna. Don't come out. Like for me, whoever put it out, I believe it was Tom Pelissero. I understand why you put it out because you hear. You know this obviously is a big talking point today because it grabs headlines. But man, don't be a hoe about it. You gonna come out there and say something about somebody? Say it.
Yeah, look,
put your name on it.
There's no doubt about it. Right? The thing is, Tom better have heard this from somebody's mouth. Like Tom, but this better not be second. To me, Tom has a professional responsibility to, when it's something that's this critical, to make sure you vet your source. And vetting, the only thing that would ever put me in a position, especially if I'm Tom and I'm established, to post something like this or make something like this public, is if I heard it from the dude's mouth myself, from his lips to my damn ears, I heard it. I still wouldn't put it out there, but that's the only way that something like this makes sense, man. Hopefully this wasn't heard it through the grapevine kind of deal and just a trusted source to a trusted source to a trusted source. Hopefully that's not the case because I agree with you, man. To not put a name on something like this is a crying ass shame.
And maybe I'm over it. I'm just saying, do you think he's hurt? This hurts his draft status. Like stuff like this coming
think,
out. From
I don't
an
think Tom Pelissero saying it, but I think if that is a real source coming from an assistant, and word gets out that you know, let's say you know, boy, that this respected general manager, scout, or coach thinks this hell yeah, absolutely.
Because if he told Tom Pelissero this, he's probably told people around the league this.
Well, he's telling Tom for a reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's a monkey see, monkey do business. I think we give guys at the NFL level, scouting departments, GMs, coaches, we give them all too much credit, like they're beyond some of this stuff. And I'm just telling you, some of the stuff I saw when I was in the league blew my mind. So there's not the thought that a coach may be out there and feel this way and be leaking it and thinking he's giving his team a better chance to draft him or somebody else. And it's not beyond what goes on in the league, but it's a crying. You got to be a real POS.
If you're going to say this, if you're going to run a kid down for their future, put your name on it.
Agreed.
Like, hey, what you said, like we break down what he had to say, but put your name on it. Don't sit there and be anonymous to Tom Pelissero.
You know how I feel about sources.
Oh, my God, that just steamed me. Coming up, Rockets Report. Brandon Scott, he'll join us, and I can't wait to get his thoughts on this huge, huge game two coming up.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, here we go. Playoff edition of, damn, fresh line in here. That's where you look like you coming from. Fresh from the chair, man.
Got to look
like
the part, baby.
Yeah, that's a razor line for that ass right there. Go ahead. Shout out to the barber there. Yeah, man.
As you took care of it. But Rockets report playoff edition.
Looks like in hell. What do you mean looks like he's fresh out the chair?
He is fresh out the chair.
He is fresh out the chair.
His ass was in a chair 15 minutes ago.
T-Bill, would I tell you it's a miracle that I got here, dog, and where I was literally 12 minutes ago? I don't know how I made it.
I told Ron, you text me, man, I'm going to have to do phone today. And then, like, 40 seconds later, you were like, nah, I'm pulling up.
It looked like it.
Shout out to the Houston traffic today. It was in my favor.
It looked like they started on your line when we started that segment. Hey, that's how quickly you've been.
I sat in this man's chair, and he must have seen something and was like, he needs some tender, loving care. Because he sat me down there, and I was in the chair for at least an hour, man. I thought I was going to get here on time.
I didn't think I had this kind of time.
Hey,
good God.
How many lives you put in danger in that damn parking garage doing 90 miles an hour?
How about the lives on Post Oak, the lives on Highway 90, the lives on 610 to get here?
And we got here safely.
We did.
We got here safely. Big night for you. I know you're going to be out there as you were game one. And listen, you've had some time. The NBA, of course, gave you about 3-4 days, it feels like, since game one. Where are you at now? How are you feeling after game one, having some time to digest it going into game two?
Yeah, I think the big thing is that they played to their identities in the worst and best ways on Sunday night, and so they got to get a little bit away from the part that was the worst of it, which was we know they're capable of going through these offensive lulls, but even on their own standards, we talked about this kind of off the air, man. Even amongst their own standards, this was bad. What we saw the other night, Jalen Green has not been good against the Golden State Warriors at all this year, really, for the most part. But this was bad even for that. So, and that's his own issue, right? They're going to have to figure that part out. Why is it that they can't find a way for him to be effective? Why can't he knock down shots? What is it about what they're doing that he can't exactly figure out? He's going to have to do that now in a hurry.
B. Scott, tell me, I feel crazy, but I was on this before the bad performance from Fred VanVleet. Less Fred VanVleet and more Jalen Green, more Amen Thompson, more whoever. Tell me I'm crazy. Like, I've got to, at the very least, see less Fred VanVleet. And if I'm crazy, if I'm not crazy, do you think it happened?
No, I don't think you're crazy, but the issue about it happening is it all goes back to this earlier point that we just made about Jalen Green. Like, I think if you get a more assertive and effective, I think, not just assertive, but effective and better decision-making, something that we've been talking about with him his entire career, but a better Jalen Green necessitates less Fred VanVleet. Like, this is the thing, Clint, not to get two X's and O's, but when they're packing the paint and Jalen Green either doesn't exactly know what to do or he's bailing out the matchup, he gets switched on to Steph Curry and he doesn't attack the paint, or they're packing the paint and he doesn't exactly know what to do, Fred VanVleet gets the green light to just take these open shots, or to just take or to initiate. And to me, if you can rely on Jalen Green a little bit more, if he can be a little bit more effective and efficient, I don't feel like Fred feels like he needs to take all of these ill-advised shots. That's not to excuse the fact that Fred has been bad.
Is it as simple as, because I mean, I'm a simpleton. If Jalen Green's knocking down outside shots, then all the pieces fall into place.
Yes. I mean, it really is. Like, not to oversimplify it, but yes. Quite frankly, yes.
Well, yeah, if he's scoring, you know, in any way.
What I mean, he's an inconsistent jump shooter.
Yeah.
Right? And his jump shot's been that way since the beginning. I mean, it was broken in the beginning. But ever since then, it's one where it's like, oh, I can't believe he made that shot.
Yeah.
Step back three or whatever. Difficult shots. But then also, you'll have those nights where he can't buy a bucket.
Like, yeah, they've got to shoot better overall. We know that. Jalen Green's got to play better. Amen Thompson's got to be more aggressive. I saw some things kind of rewatching that a bit, in particular with Jalen Green, and just some situations that were alarming to me that I think has to change is, like, he couldn't shake loose a Steph at times. Like, that was a part to me where, like, Steph beat him up. Like, when he sees Steph Curry switched on him, it should be blood in the water and he should be going in straight attack mode. But he wasn't able to get past him at times. So, and I know he's capable of being that type of player to where Steph Curry is not somebody who gives him problems defensively. He's just got to be, you know, smartly aggressive and go and make plays, especially even when he gets switches or matchups that are advantages for him, like Steph Curry?
Yeah, well, so for me, it is the fact that, like, I do have to give the Warriors credit for this. They do a good job of help defense. Like, they have been making up for the hunt Steph strategy for years now, and they do a hell of a job, always have done a hell of a job with their help defense, and this is the stuff that I'm talking about. When they pack the paint, they shade over to – they try to keep Jalen from going from his more favorable side. He likes to go right, doesn't really like to go left as much. So they kind of – they play to that. And then he has to – two things. Both make better decisions from that, and then also not bail out the matchup or give up on it when it gets a little difficult, which he also did at times. Like what you're saying, when he couldn't shake Steph, then he'd be taking a step back three against Steph.
Yeah.
Well, you're bailing out the matchup. Steph is on you, and you're Jalen Green, and you're taking a step back three. They'll take, even if you make it, they'll take that, right? So don't bail out the matchup and make better decisions when it's right in front of you.
What, B. Scott, what is your – not necessarily what you think the Rockets are going to do, but what is your favorite – you're sitting home watching the Rockets. What's your favorite lineup on the floor?
Oh, the double big lineup is my favorite lineup on the floor because it imposes its will and it still has shooting on it. Like, if the double big lineup consists of – we obviously know that that's Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün. But if it's got Jabari Smith Jr. as the three – and let's say it's instead of Amen Thompson, it's Jalen Green and Tari Eason. Or it's Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. It's just another shooter out there. I like that. I don't necessarily want it to be Jalen, Amen, and the double big or triple big. But give me another shooter, Dylan Brooks. Give me another shooter out there with the double slash triple big. And that's my favorite lineup by far.
Yeah, Brandon Scott with us in here for the Rockets report. All right, we kind of talked about a little bit for game one, but what are in particular things outside of, all right, man, they've got to shoot it better. They've got to shoot it better. What are some things that you're like, hey, this has to be a change for them. This is a part of the game we have to see that's different coming up.
I think that from a coaching standpoint, they have to be willing to go deeper into that bench if the offense looks anything similar to the way that
how
it
deep?
Did.
How deep you?
Well, and that's the thing. You can. I don't think they need to play a whole bunch of guys, but I think they need to decide maybe up front who they like the most in these matchups. Whether that's Aaron Holiday, I'm not saying play Aaron Holiday, Reed Shepherd, and Cam Whitmore, but one or two of them, and be willing to like let them go out there for 7 to 8 minutes. If you're scoring 13 points in a quarter like you did in the second quarter, and it gets that bad, I think that they definitely have to be willing to do that. Like, the story is what it is, Ron, the fact that they need to hit these shots. Like, man, they held the Warriors on a night where Steph went off and Jimmy was Jimmy. They still held the Warriors to 95. That means 96 wins it. They could have won it without even scoring 100 points. It all comes down to knocking down these shots, making better decisions on offense, and as a coaching staff, deciding, hey, do we need to go away from this and go and lean further into that for our shooting matchups? They don't have a whole lot of shooters, and some of them just happen to be deep on the bench. Some of their instant offense happens to be guys like Cam Whitmore, happens to be guys as
you
crazy,
trust him in this spot,
as,
though,
crazy as it sounds, Aaron Holiday. I don't, but I think that you have to be willing to take some risk and be willing to say, hey, I'll try this for 5 to 7 minutes early in the game if that's what it takes. I don't trust them late in the game, but if I'm not scoring, do I trust Cam Whitmore in the second quarter with still the second half to recover from it? Absolutely.
And you're saying if it starts to resemble how bad it was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you just look at the shot chart, man. They couldn't buy a bucket outside of those first few minutes when they really kind of imposed their will in the matchup, really looked to be in the Rockets' favor. After that, it's clank, clank, and, you know, the Warriors start going off.
I mean, they're still, and maybe this goes without saying, but right, I mean, Şengün is still the big key here. I mean, I think when it comes down to winning and losing, like, you're going to have to get a guard that's knocking down some shots, obviously, but Şengün in that matchup is like, through four quarters, like, you're going to constantly find a way to get him to rock, right?
Well, it's the beauty of it is that Şengün is the most reliable piece of it. People talk about how badly they need a star, how badly they need a superstar, and they do need a go-to guy. But Şengün is their most reliable offense. They need all of these other unreliable things to come together. The shooting, the decision-making, the rotations even. All of that stuff has to come together. Şengün is the most reliable piece that they have.
When we get before we get out of here, do you feel, because he rode the fence on this earlier, do you feel this is must-win for the Rockets tonight?
Yes. I do think it's as close to must win as you can come without it being an actual elimination game.
Like if
you,
they
if
lose
you accept that it's not an actual elimination game, I do think it's must win. I mean, what are you talking about going, oh, you got the home court advantage to start, and then you go to on the road down 0-2 against this team looking like that? I don't think that's viable.
You don't see their path to winning the series.
Absolutely.
Realistically.
If they lose tonight, game. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right, that's Brandon Scott. You can catch all of his work at sportsradio610.com. He's on In the Loop at 11 every Tuesday with us at 4:40 every Wednesday. He will be at Toyota Center tonight for this huge, and as he said, must-win game.
Yes.
For the Houston Rockets. That'll be coming up tonight. So stay tuned for that as we get ready to go into a little 5 o'clock fire. The Astros, the Rockets aren't the only thing going on tonight. The Astros have won and can sweep the Blue Jays. We'll give you the starting lineups and get you ready for that one. And what's been talked about Nick Caserio and the potential of what the Texans will do tomorrow on draft night. We'll fill you in on that. That's all coming up next right here live on The Drive.